Stuttgart, das Tor ist leer. Alles oder nichts. Das komplette Fleisch ist aus dem Grill, auf dem Grill die Ecke kommt. Und er ist drin! Und er ist drin! Der absolute Wahnsinn! Der VfB Stuttgart bleibt in der ersten Fußball-Bundesliga. Schiebt sich vor.
Welcome to episode 112 of VfB Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language VfB Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. My name is Travis. I'm your host. You can reach me at Hazelfish. You can reach us online at the Twitter machine at VfB Americana. No longer do we have an actual website because we can't afford it, because we're not going to pay somebody to be able to find us easily. So we decided to spend all of our podcast money to fly in probably one of the most famous American voices for the Bundesliga. You know him from 50 Plus Donor. He just got done doing a watch along for a very exciting match we'll talk about in a bit. Jake, welcome to the program for the second time, man.
That is not the intro I deserve, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to that's the last time we'll compliment you, because you guys ruined our good times this weekend.
Whatever you do, you mean.
All right, so the way we usually do this is some shout-outs, but we'll get Jake's thoughts on some of this stuff. So, Valpy Bingo, Dan O'Hagan got 12 of the 25. Jake, if one of the famous commentators for ESPN were going to commentate on your day, you've got Derek Ray, you've got Phil Bonney, you've got Kevin Hatchard, and you've got Dan O'Hagan, who are the four main guys that do ESPN+. Which one of those guys would you want to just give the people at home a play-by-play role of your day from sun up to sundown?
See, I want to say Derek Ray, but if I know if I have a life mistake and he says aye aye aye, that would just not. So maybe Phil, in theory, Derek Ray, but Phil Bonney, just in case if I mess up, I don't want to hear aye aye aye, like look at my bank accounts and all that other stuff. I don't need to hear the boar.
I would go with Phil Bonney too, because I think Phil is the most excitable of the four of them. Mm-hmm. And kind of the most sitting at a bar guy, where there's a number of times where Phil be watching a match and be like, there's no way that's a penalty. And then all of a sudden it's a penalty. Very much like us. So any of those guys would be bored to tears to have to commentate on my life though. But pod predictions, Jeff won again. He got four wins. This season has just been terrible predicting. It's been a crazy season. Another crazy season for you guys too. The Valpy Frauen, they haven't started up their season yet, but they did have a friendly match. They lost to SC Sand 3-5 today, which is a second tier team. So we're in the fourth tier. You guys are still in the first tier, I believe. You give some shout outs to the Cologne Frauen there. They're having a bit of a tough season though, aren't they?
Yeah, well, such is life, right? When it rains, it pours.
This is going to be the happiest episode we've ever seen. Maybe this will cheer you up. Our new shout out for 2024 is the Valpy Shop. Now, last week we talked about the retro track jacket windbreakers they brought out. This week they broke out digital trading cards. So you can get 1, 3, or 5 for 10, 20, or 30 euro. I brought you on the program partly because I know you're young and hip. Can you explain what this is exactly to an old man like myself?
Oh, well, my back hurts too much to be young and hip, but I that's actually a good question, because I'm wondering if it's like, are they NFTs? Are they just like, oh, they're NFT? I didn't even know if they were still going on. I feel like it was like, you heard so much about them like a year ago, and now it's just like,
this is part of the Alexander Barrel project of making money anywhere we possibly can.
We tried to tell you when you guys got in that this was going to happen. We tried to say.
All right. No NFT cards for you then, sir.
No. Yeah.
All right. We got some former Valbiers out there. So we got Mo Sanko played 8 minutes in a loss for Heracles. Gil Dias played 20 minutes in a Europa Conference loss for his Polish team. Poor Luka Pfeiffer sat on the bench for 90-plus minutes for the 1-1 draw against Bremen. Tomas Castanheiros played only 3 minutes in the third tier against Ingolstadt. And Juan Pereira played 90 minutes in a Hansa loss to Dusseldorf. Shout out to Endo. We usually don't shout out guys who are officially gone, but he just won the League Cup for Liverpool, played the whole 120 minutes for him. So congratulations. Want to get your thoughts on this one. Shout out to another former Valpier who I think is close to both of our hearts, Simon Terodde. Played only 45 minutes in Schalke's loss to Magdeburg. 3-0. They're in 14th place, 4 points above 16. I mean, Baumgart got his first win. I'm going to let you talk about either of those guys. I know him coming from Cologne is a big deal, but we both shared Simon Terodde. He's only got 3 goals in 18 matches this year. Is the curtain kind of closing for him?
I mean, yeah, like it is a little surprised to hear he has a goal that's short, but I'm actually going to go. I remember Gil Dias being really, really good. Like, that's good to hear that he's doing good in another league.
It's his 8th league, by the way. So,
well traveled though. I mean, if I was a soccer player, I would like go see the world, get paid a lot of money to go play whoever they played in Poland.
I like the fact that of all those things that we just shout out there, the one guy that we're most impressed with is Gil Dias. Not winning the title, not Simon Terodde, the greatest second tier player of all time, but well traveled in his 20 minutes there. So congrats, Gil. The OFC tip spiel. I am just terrible at predicting this year. So Kai Guy won, I am Rob won, and Doug won. We had a three-way tie, but Stefan still has a 5-point lead in the OFC races there. The OFC man of the match for this one, 40% of our official paying club voted for Enzo Milo, Jake. So from a Stuttgart perspective, who do you think was the best player wearing the white and red this weekend?
Well, definitely Milo, right? It's kind of hard to argue against that. I feel like Chris Führig always puts in a good shift no matter what the game is. I think those two probably stick out for me the most. I think Führig just in general is having an incredible season, so it's hard to not really shout him out or be amazed with what he's doing. He's going to – I would imagine he has to be on the Euro Cup roster, right? Like he's at least in consideration.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how many guys from Stuttgart might actually be on there. At one point, we had an under of like 2.5, and we were all voting under. And now you're like, well, between Chris, between Dennis, between Anton, between even Mittelstadt of all people, you're like,
yeah, Mittelstadt, where did that come from?
The fountain of Swabian youth or something like that. I don't know. Yo, talking about the game, let's jump right into it. So we had third place hosting 16th place. You guys are just on the struggle bus right now. 15 goals scored going into this one, less than one a match. But since you got the new coach, you guys have kind of stabilized your defense a little bit, it looks like. 4 draws, a win, and right in the last 7, I believe. So your defense looks like it's stabilized. Not scoring a lot, but you are not conceding as much now. I mean, quick thoughts. You want to give us just a little rundown? Because there are a lot of friends of the show who are, you know, closet Hennes fans here. So we're definitely rooting for you. Tough times, though, up in the Domstadt.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's kind of hard to point anywhere other than the strikers. Like, I think that's one of the big strikeouts that they did have was this summer just not really looking for a striker in the way they should have. Like, Luka Waldschmidt was never going to be that person that they need. And with all of those guys out now, I think it actually is working out of giving Thielmann a chance. Like, I'm sure we're going to give, like, Justin Deal and people like that more chances. So it actually is working out very well. But like you were saying, like, they're turning – a lot of these games that they're drawing, they would have lost earlier in the season. Now they're starting to turn those lost – what would be losses into draws. Mm-hmm. But they need to obviously make that jump and turn these draws that they're having into wins because, like, that miss it by Alidu in the 85th minute in the Stuttgart game. Like, come on, man. Like, you gotta put that away. So,
yeah, I was texting with my buddy Jeff, who's on the podcast. He's a Cologne fan. You met him in Austin. And he when that miss happened, he was like, exactly, that's how this season is going.
It's, yeah.
You have that clear. And as a Stuttgart supporter the last, you know, number of years, I've been there. I feel the pain 100%. But these two clubs are kind of tied to the hip, it seems like, at least over the last half decade or decades. Like, whenever one is doing well, the other one is doing lousy. Their matchups are always pretty close. I mean, they made that, of all the teams to make a trip to Texas, these two made the trip, you know, to Texas.
Yeah, right. You
know, they've got the ties with Simone Tirota, Alex Verrill, Seiru Girassi. So thoughts and expectations going into this one, because Stuttgart now is trending. You guys are struggling a little bit, but it's often been flipped. I honestly thought we were going to roll you guys. Everybody on our pod predicted a big 3-0, 3-1 win simply because you guys have struggled so much to score this year. So I thought we'd at least get like two goals past you guys and go away with a dirty 3 points. Were you expecting to get anything traveling on the road against us?
I think the only thing that stuck out was just the amount of injuries and like the question marks. Like I feel like you guys like didn't even know who was going to be playing this game until the lineup came out. So I was a little nervous on that. When Undav was out, I was like, okay, I feel a little better. But then I saw Garassi was still in, so I was like, that's not good. I thought we would lose. But if you told me before, and like I'm disappointed we didn't win, obviously, because of what we said before about like the miss. But if you told me a week ago, yeah, you're going to go into Stuttgart and you're going to get a point, I'd be like, I'll take it. I would gladly take that, especially considering who we have to play this upcoming week. So we got to get the points where we can.
Yeah, that was a tough. The thing that I was most surprised about is, the lineup was a little bit fluxed for us, but you guys were having some lineup issues too. Hubers was out, so Chabot came back in, and that turned out to be kind of the key player, I thought. Kicker even wrote an article about how he is the kryptonite, using their words, against Seiru Girassi. He just seemed to lock Seiru down. We all expected him to get off the Schneid and get a goal in this one. And I say Schneid like an idiot. He had one goal last week. We're like, oh, that's not good enough. So Chabot was really able to lock him down. Were you expecting that? Because this guy seems to have his number a bit.
Sort of. I mean, so I don't want to sell Jeff Chabot too high, but he has improved every year he's been at Köln. Like, I can tell you for a fact, I did not want this man touching the field like three years ago or whenever he started coming, but he's really getting into his own with positioning. He like, it's the perfect amount of physical on people that I think throws strikers off of. Like, I mean, he does kind of get more contact than what I think a lot of people would be allowed in those like shoulder challenges. He's just a fridge of a man. So that's already hard, like getting past him anyway. Like, He really has been coming onto his own, and especially in a center back position where, like you said, like Hubers and Killian and whoever has been in and out, like he's been the one constant for a good reason. And I think like the defensive performances really rely on him and Schwebe going forward. So he's gonna have his work cut out for him next week. But seeing what he did against Grassi, I think is a good sign.
Yeah, and even though you guys seem to have it locked down for a bit, this, I still was confident going into this one, even when the match started. You guys had an early chance, but it was kind of that classic struggling team versus a team in good form where we were going to play a ton of possession. You guys were going to counter with Deal. And it just looked like that was the way it was going to go. And I'm not as frustrated as a lot of the players were after the match. I'll throw some quotes at you here. So Angelo Stiller said, quote, "We were clearly the better team until the 1-0 draw. We played dominantly. Cologne didn't know how to attack us. After the 1-0 goal, though, we played arrogantly. We let them back in the match. We had too many simple mistakes. A team that didn't really know what to do with the ball got back in the game," end quote. And then Anton, you know, criticized the defense too. He said, quote, "We have to defend consistently and not do less, but want more. We didn't do that today. We should have just killed them. We had enough chances." And then Stiller concluded with, "We lost 2 points today." A couple things. As a Stuttgart supporter, we never hear our players talk like this. Our expectation is, hey, we got a point. That's pretty sweet. Stack those up. So we never really talk about losing 2 points, but I think that's kind of shown just what a striking difference this season is. From my perspective, I don't really think this was 2 points lost if you watched the match. Like, I get it. You know, you should beat Cologne, but Bayern should have beat Bochum, right? Leverkusen right. Should have beaten Mainz a lot more easily. Dortmund, as you just watched, probably should have taken care of Hoffenheim. This is the Bundesliga. That just doesn't.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Right. There's no easy match. So I didn't really think of it as 2 points lost, because I honestly thought after the 60-minute mark, It was anybody's game. And then when Ali Du blew that breakaway in the 85th minute, I was like, all right, I want three, but we deserve one in this one. So what did you think it was 2 points lost for Stuttgart, 2 points gained for Cologne? I mean, you're walking away with a point. You got to stack those.
This is going to sound very non-committal, but, like, I don't really know. But I think, like, one of the things that, now that you said that, the quotes that came from of that game, like, that's kind of how you want your players to take it. Like, I think for us as fans, we're like, oh, Stuttgart's really happy to be in third. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, it's a big surprise season. Like, you know, I think even you were like, oh, yeah, we'll take a point out of it. But to hear the players take where they're at on the table seriously is extremely awesome and encouraging, I think, for Stuttgart fans. Like, hearing those quotes and them not taking, they could easily be like, yeah, we're just ahead of season expectations, blah blah blah, like, it happened. But for them to be that fired up, and like, if I was reading that, I would be scared for who you guys are playing next. Like, and that's what you want. Like, you want this team to not be the team of old that's just like showing up every game, right? They're up there now, and they want to stay up there. And regardless of the result of the game, I think that really sticks out for what the future would be. It lost 2 points, whatever, it happens, but as long as they don't lose their mentality, I think that's the big thing for a game like this.
I think that's a great point. As we jump into the match, I don't really know how to talk about this match as much as if we just jump into the first half. Your kid, Justin Deal, looked really good. And the reason we were paying attention to him is we were at one point linked with him. I don't understand how he wasn't on the pitch earlier in the season for you guys, especially when you guys didn't have a lot of offensive players. He just looks like a playmaker. He's young. Yeah, he's going to make mistakes, but he looks exciting. We had a couple chances early, but I don't know. The first half, I was like, okay, I was still confident we would get a point. I should say, get some goals in the second half. But like I said, in the second half, after that 60-minute mark, when it was 1-1, it was just even Steven. So I don't know, was there anything that stood out to you in the match that you would take away being like, oh, I was surprised by that, or, you know, this is something we can carry forward?
I think it's just, it's kind of to a point to what you said earlier about why with Justin Deal, it's like, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but like, Baumgart didn't really give the young players the chance to shine that they probably should have. And now that you're seeing with the new coach, like, Martel had a fantastic game. Like, you have a bunch of, like, Deal coming in there, making splashes and things like that. Like, you're starting to see the young players on Köln have confidence in being in the spot that they're – because they're being thrown into the wolves, right? Like, if you're 18, you're now on a team that can't make transfers for a year. You're trying to get out of relegation spot, like, and you're 18.
Yeah.
And you're starting against Stuttgart in third place. like that's such a hard mental area to be in, and you're just seeing them starting to flourish in this situation, which is a big reason why we're having this, like, kind of resurgence, keeping up. Like, 6 points is not that far away to get out of relegation, right? Like, so as long as they're still trying and the young kids are still growing, like, that's what's making me, that's what I got out of this game. It's like, the young kids are really, you can rely, I think, I'm going to say it hesitantly, but I think you can rely on them. You never know. But
the big thing I took out from the Stuttgart perspective was that we played three of the bottom teams in a row, in Darmstadt, mm-hmm. Mainz, and you guys, and we got 7 out of 9 points there. And I just don't, I think had you said that ahead of time, I probably would have been okay, you know, with that. It's those three teams aren't just going to roll over and give up. You know, there's no real such thing as an easy win there. And exactly what you said, I like their response after the match. And it wasn't like we played terrible. There was a defensive lapse that led to the Köln goal. Josh Wagman basically forgot his guy. But they had plenty of chances. The guy that always plays really well against us is Schwebe. That guy is just an octopus. And it's been, I remember the two previous times, I don't know what his rating was from kicker this time, but we played him two or three matches in a row where his rating was a one. He got a one, and he lost one of those matches. So this guy just, sometimes you just got to tip your cap, because I think Stuttgart has been really efficient throughout much of this year. And we ran into a guy who I think has our number, is one of the top goalkeepers in the Bundesliga, and it just wasn't meant to be that day. So I don't want it to be so down and out and things. This is the end of the streak and everything's going to go down. I mean, we just ran into a guy who, I mean, Schweba's, I don't know if he's one of the top goalies in the Bundesliga, but I'd certainly pick him on one on my team if I had to.
He's having a, I think even statistically, he's having like at least a top five keeper in the league type of year. But I mean, you make a great point, right? Like, not every point you drop is tragic. You know what I mean? Like, it just happens. It's hard to be what Leverkusen's doing is so out of this world, is like, that's impossible to do.
What is it? 30 wins?
Yes, 33 games now. They haven't lost a game. Like, that is so rare. So, like, a game like this where you're, like you said, bottom three teams, you just play them one after another, like three teams really motivated to try to get a win, to drop 2 points in only one of them is like, it is what it is. And like you said, like, the mentality of players doesn't look like it's gotten crushed or anything like that. So it's just, I feel like if you're Stuttgart fans, you just got to look at this as kind of like hitting a speed bump and you just keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think after this one, like you said, the mentality was big. The chances were there. We just weren't able to finish for the first time in a long time. And you're going to have bumps in the road like this. And we'll talk about this actually right now. You know, as we do the final thoughts and reality of this match, everything went this weekend Stuttgart's way. In fact, as I'm watching this right now, everything seems to be going your guys' way too, as the Augsburg match is on for Freiburg. But we got 7 out of 9 points in these last three matches. We're still in third place. The upcoming schedule, we're at Wolfsburg, who is in 14th place. We've got Union Berlin, 12th place. We got Hoffenheim, who just had a real nice win. They bumped up to 7th from 10th. And then we've got Heidenheim, which is that fortress at home, but I'm not too afraid of those guys on the road. I think it'll be a little bit different.
I don't know.
I know, famous last words. Don't put that. So that's February and March. So as we look at the table, Stuttgart is third place with 47 points. Dortmund, 41 points. We've got Leipzig, fifth place, 40 points. And then you've got Frankfurt, sixth place. And then seventh place is just a mix of teams all over the place. I think Freiburg is in seventh as we're recording this. So from an outsider's perspective, how good can this team finish? I mean, everybody wants to finish top four because that's definite Champions League. I keep trying to pay attention to the coefficient, which means Bundesliga might get 5, but I don't know if I can. So of those three, Leipzig, Dortmund, and I can't believe I'm saying Stuttgart, who are the two you would pick to finish 3-4 if the season, you know, we still have 11 matches left?
So I'm going to show my cards a little bit. I was going to work on something this week after this game finishes of like average points in the schedule left for the rest of teams. You guys still have to play Bayern and you still have to play Dortmund and you still have to play Leverkusen. That is not fun. Nope. So, and I know just in looking, Bayern has a way really, really lax schedule coming up. But I do think also one thing working for you, Dortmund has a really hard schedule. That I've seen, they still have to play like a Bayern and they still, I think, have to play Leverkusen. Leipzig is having, I don't know what's going on with them. They're having their issues right now. I think what really sticks out is both the point differential, right? Like, you have a 6-point lead over Dortmund. They, like, you would have to drop 2 really tough games and they would have to be perfect in order for them to overtake you. And the goal differential, I think, is really helping you out too. Like, it's starting to get to that point where, like, you look at your goal differential and, like, this is either going to help or hurt, right? So, like, if you do drop your games and, you know, neck and neck with whoever is below you, like, you've still got that going for you, right? So, I'm going to actually go with Stuttgart. Ooh. I just think you guys have been, for me, I get beat up by Stuttgart fans all the time, so I think I'm teeing myself up right now. But, like, I thought every now and then this would be the game that Stuttgart's magic runs out, right? Like, it's going to happen now. It's going to happen now. Like, and now we have, like, 10 games left, and it has not happened. So I'm just going to assume this is what you guys play like now. Oh. So I'm hoping that you guys do it. I think that would be a really great story, especially after last season, just the moves you guys made and, like, just all these players having the best moments of their career to steal a Champions League spot from Leipzig, which is hilarious. But it's going to be tough. Yeah. But I still think you guys can do it.
Well, from your mouth to Fritzl's ears is what we're hoping here. But that's a perfect segue for us to jump into part three, some news, headlines, and questions. And let's dive into that Champions League thing. A couple of the guys started to talk about it. So Dennis Undav, who was unfortunately hurt for the Cologne match, he might come back for the Wolfsburg match, but I got a feeling they're going to hold him out because he wants to get called up to the national team for his hamstring. He said, quote, "I think we can no longer talk around it. We want to play internationally. That's the goal." And then Anton, who's the captain, said, quote, "If you want to play internationally, then you have to win such games as this. We should have just killed them. We had enough chances." I just want to throw that "killing you" in one more time because he's a very angry Ukrainian right now.
Well, I was about to compliment him, but I guess I'll take that back now.
Yeah.
But like, he's like one of my favorite players. Like, he's so good defensively. You can tell he just does not like losing. Like, I feel like every team needs one of him. And the fact that he's the captain really sticks out too.
He takes a cold shower before every match to get fired up. And I'm like, that seems an opposite way. And I don't know if you've ever seen him, well, I don't know why you would, walk out the tunnel. Everybody's kind of glad-handing with the other team before the match starts. He has got this stare of like Drago, where he's just looking right through. I always feel sorry for whoever the poor little kid is who's walking him out, because Uncle Anton probably isn't the nicest, most talkative fella there. But these guys are starting to talk about it. So we went from a position where everybody's like, nope, we're just talking about 40 points. That's all we're talking about, because that's a magic number to not get relegated. To, okay, we're past 40 points, but it's still a little early to talk about anything, you know, postseason. We're now they're actively talking about it. So I think that's interesting to see how they handle the next 11 games, mm-hmm. because the expectations are different now. It's not just to finish in safety, which they've done. It's to finish in the top 3, 4, 5 spots. So I don't know if... When you guys had your run with Cologne back when Anthony Modeste was there and you guys qualified to Europe, was it kind of, did the expectations start to get on the guys, or was it just a happy-go-lucky, we're in the top 9, you know, we'll see what happens type of thing? Because I'm curious to see, now that the expectations are clearly there and clearly stated by the leaders of the team, how they'll be able to respond to now having targets on their back, basically.
Yeah, so I think the one blessing and curse is that Stuttgart has such a rabid, passionate, involved fan base. I think that starts to work a little bit against players sometimes, because you do feel the expectation from the fans and like the ultras in the stadium that we need to win this game and stuff like that. So like the mistakes of letting in a goal or whatever, like kind of hit a little harder, as opposed to like no offense to Leipzig, but like, you know, if they let in a goal, they're not like, oh, our fans are going to murder us. You know what I mean?
Where's those
fans? I think, all right, we've been dunking on Leipzig a lot, like a Hoffenheim. Let's say Hoffenheim. I think that just inherently, like, you want to play for your ultras, right? And like, they go to the ultras after every game. So if you have a bad one, a game you should have won, that kind of puts your Champions League in doubt, they're not going to be blooming with happiness. So I think that's what we saw in our run, is, and I think they even said that, of like, we just didn't want to let the fans down. That kind of hurts and helps, but I think just the one thing that Stuttgart has had this whole season is mentality. Like, a lot of it is obviously is Grassi's runs and stuff like that, but there was some games where I was just like, Stuttgart's gonna get murdered in this game, and they either didn't get murdered or they just straight up won the game. So it's gonna be tough, and I think like as we get down to the wire, like if they're gonna start to just inherently be more nervous, but I think the record really sets behind them that they're gonna be able to handle it.
I really like what you said about the home support, because even when things were really bad the last couple seasons, and even when there was leadership issues, when Alex Verrill came over, he wasn't the most popular guy. Mm-hmm. Winning solves a lot of those problems, but when they went with the Winamax logo on their jersey, a betting company, that wasn't the most popular decision.
Yeah.
But winning solves a lot of issues. But no matter what had happened, even when Sven was or walked away, was like, oh, whatever you want to say, the home crowd was always on the support of the guys. They never wavered in that regard. So I really think it's interesting what you said is, what is it going to be like now that we're we're still playing for fun, but now there's this actual tangible goal out there that none of us thought was possible. And if that pressure, you know, we'll get to them a little bit. Speaking of pressure that got to people, I really want to get your opinion on this. We talked about it a little bit. So the DFL investor vote was officially nixed within the last week. And so there weren't any protests today aside from, I think, in Wolfsburg. People just started throwing stuff onto the pitch, and even the announcers are like, we're not sure what's going on.
Because, a little late.
Yeah, I don't know if they got the news that it was ixnade. But the DFL investor vote, if you don't know what this is, we talked about it the last couple episodes, that the German League was trying to find an investor, a couple billion dollars, to try to expand its, basically its footprint around the world and all that stuff. And the ultras were super against it. There were some quirky voting that may or may not have been legal-ish. All that. Anyway, there was tennis balls, protests the whole time. You put a couple things on Twitter about how amazing this is for to show the power of the fans, the power of the supporters. Your thoughts on the DFL vote? Because I haven't talked to you since that was officially shelved.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think it's been interesting to see other fans and other leagues try to understand this. Because you see the people that are like, well, now they're not going to be able to compete in Europe, or like the whole, oh, they don't want to, like the ultras are being selfish. It's so interesting to see those opinions, because to me, in my mind, I would rather have the club be a community club rather than be what some of these teams are being to become Champions League winners and stuff like that, right? And it's so hard for Premier League fans and like even MLS fans to understand that. Of like, winning isn't everything. I think like things have been so centered on winning that anything that deviates from that doesn't make sense. So when you see something where it would obviously bring a lot of money to clubs, like they would just inherently with the deals and the plans, like they would have more money to try to be able to keep up with like Premier League and stuff like that. But I think just leagues need to stop thinking of everything as a competition with the Premier League. Leagues just need to be what's best for the people who are in the league and want to be fans of the league and stuff like that, which I think this investor vote falling apart is just the best thing for the fans, the best thing for the league. Like, I don't want to know what the league would have looked like had it went through, I think is my thing. So were there some things in the investor plans I liked? Actually, yes. I liked the money that, like, the whole part of the plan where they were going to give money to teams to go internationally for international trips. I think that would have been really cool. Them having, like, more of a robust platform would have been cool, too. But none of those things really matched up with the other sacrifices you had to make in that, that I think would have turned the league into what doesn't make it special.
I agree 100%. I thought one of the issues with the Bundesliga, because I think you and I are of the same mind, where we've tried to do a lot of things to expand just people's recognition of the league and what makes it special. And I think if the league could find a way to advertise what makes it different than the Premier League and some of these other leagues, I really think people could latch on to the idea that you are a member of this club, that you have voting rights in this club. And yes, you're not going to fly from Chicago to Cologne most times to exercise those rights. But I really think if they just focused a little bit more on what makes the league so unique, as opposed to what makes it not the Premier League, I don't know if it's going to solve the problem. I agree with you. You're never going to catch the Premier League, but the coefficient, I was looking at this since 2006 and seven, the Bundesliga has always been in the top three or four.
Right. That's the funniest thing, right? It's like they finish in Europe better than, like, obviously Manchester City's going to, they have the billions of dollars to do whatever they're doing. But, like, to do as well as we do in Europe, all things considering, and with, like, a rotating amount of teams, like, they're never the same teams going to Champions League and whatnot, really. You know what I mean? For that to still be doing what we're doing really shows like, what you're saying. And then also, like you said, like, I think with this fan vote and some of the protests, right? Like, you saw a lot of people like, oh my God, an RC car? That's hilarious. And stuff like that. Like, I think that did advertising for the league. It's like, wow, these fans really can do that. Like, these fans really are creative. This is really important. It's cool. I think everybody wants a voice in their team and seeing that. So yeah, you're right. Like I think like the advertising should switch to from like what works for the Premier League and just being like, this is not the Premier League, and that's the best part about the league.
I know. It's funny you mentioned that too, because they put out that for the first time ever, I believe it was last week, that the Zweite Liga outdrew the Bundesliga in terms
Yeah.
of fan support. And you're just like, okay, that isn't a bad sign for the Bundesliga. That's a great sign for the league and the health overall, because there's some incredible clubs that, are in the second league right now. So I think there's a lot the league is doing right as opposed to doing wrong. It's hard for somebody like me sitting in Cleveland to criticize the supporters who were there every weekend and doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
I definitely had their side. It was easy to have their side there, but yeah, so that vote is off the table, unless it's in Wolfsburg. Those guys still haven't figured it out, so maybe they're gonna figure that out. We do have a question from Flabby Viking, a frequent question asker. He says, a stubbornly sunny question after a crappy game. When we make it to the Europa League, one of the or Champions League, where do you guys think we need to improve? A, getting better players or getting more depth players? I like having you on here because you guys went through this. You made the Europa League. It was an awesome time. You guys got to play Arsenal, et cetera. But then you were relegated at the end of that season too. So you had the best of times, the worst of times. That's a title. We should write that down somewhere. Do we have to get better players or get more depth players or both?
Well, it should be. I mean, it's got to be deaf, right? Like, if you look at a lot of the teams that succeed in Champions League, like a Bayern or whatever, they basically have another team on their bench usually. But it depends. I think also it depends on what you can upgrade too, right? Like, is there a spot in Stuttgart that like you feel like at some point depth needs to back up a good player. If you don't have a good player getting backed up, then the depth's just where it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think like depth should be what's focused on, but you also have so many players on loan who are doing very well right now where you need to figure that out 100%. Like if Grassi goes for whatever reason, you gotta keep Undav. You can't have both of them leaving the team at the same time.
Yeah, I thought when you guys made that move, I believe you guys lost Anthony Modeste
Yeah.
after that season. And I thought that was, I don't remember there being a replacement for him, unless it was a guy named Seru Girassi. And he struggled a little bit for you guys back then.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
yeah,
it's some things are just hard, right? Like if Anton somehow left the team, like that's going to take a while to replace, you know? But depth is always like we just need someone who like we can rely on to play on a Wednesday, right? And not us not have to like rack our brains for how we're gonna play if it ever happens, right? Like a Leverkusen, Champions League, then Bayern. Those are always nightmares to do. And if you don't have the team to kind of give people who need rest rest, then you're gonna burn yourself out by December, you know? So
now, there you go, Flabby. We need some depth here, so keep cutting wood. It's a little bit of an insult for us here. You mentioned Leverkusen, which is a great segue because we got some matches coming up. So what do we say? We move into part four, some odds and predictions for next week's matches. All right, so here we are in part four, and as we always like to tell everybody, is that because we are so just a professional here, that isn't actually a pretend 10-second break like you hear in the podcast. That was an actual 10-minute break, because until we can get our Zoom account fixed, that's pretty much the way it is. So did you enjoy your 10 minutes off, Jake?
I did, yeah. I watched a little bit of the Freiburg Augsburg game.
Yeah, Freiburg is kind of helping you guys out a little bit, and we'll touch on that in these odds and predictions that we got going on. So Stuttgart is traveling to Wolfsburg as the top spiel of Saturday, so 12:30 EST. When I say Wolfsburg to you, what just goes through your mind? Either current team, history, their jersey, whatnot.
Current disappointment, history. Young development. They're a team that I always said about Leverkusen, they should be doing better than they do. I think they have a lot of the resources. They have the youth development. Like they have a lot of the tools to be successful, and they're just not for whatever reason.
Yeah, that was one of the first clubs that I found out about the disparity in money. And so when Volkswagen had that scandal where they were fibbing a little bit about their emissions and all that, And everybody, I read a bunch of stuff that said, oh boy, watch out. They're going to pull a bunch of money out of the club. I was like, how does that work? And sure enough, they pulled a bunch of money out of the club, dealt the fines and all that stuff. Yeah, when I think of Wolfsburg, I think of the trivia question for us. Anyway, Christian Gettner, who is now our director of licensing, which is a title that was made up by Alex. Nobody really knows what he does. He sit on the bench and hug the players occasionally. He's the answer to one of the trivia questions of who is one of the only two players to have won the Bundesliga for two clubs aside from Dortmund and for Bayern.
Oh.
For both Stuttgart in 2007, then the year or two after that when Wolfsburg won. So I always think of that. I always think it's stale. It's just Wolfsburg seems a little stale to me. That
yeah,
there doesn't seem to be a great fan support. There's that great meme on Twitter of those two twins, or is it the three triplets? The three guys dressed up as Wolfsburg supporters, and they look exactly alike. And stand by themselves. So I never get too worried about them, but they always seem to have our number a little bit. In fact, Stuttgart only has 6 wins in the last 23 matches against these guys, but in the last 5. You know, we've been playing okay. Seiru had a hat trick in that match at home, but we're on the road. I always love to ask our guests odds and predictions because a lot of people don't know exactly how the betting Vegas or Winamax, in our case, does this. Who do you think the favorite is in this match? It is Stuttgart on the road in Wolfsburg. And then what is your prediction?
It's got to be – you guys got to be a favorite, 100%. They're playing so bad right now, Wolfsburg. I actually don't even know how Niko Kovac is still the coach. but I mean, you guys got to be the favorite, but with your stat about it being about like, I think it'll probably be a draw maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
1-1.
Stuttgart is favored by half a goal in this one. So the betting companies are saying that Stuttgart is the favorite to take this one out, but they've got it as a low scoring affair. Over under goals in this one is 2.5. It's weird because I always thought Niko Kovac is one of the best coaches around. What he did in Frankfurt, yeah, I thought was so impressive. And then I don't know who can coach Bayern Munich. It's just that place is just FC Hollywood for a reason there. But you're right, Wolfsburg has just been bleh. So I don't know exactly what to expect in this one. This would be a nice bounce back match for us after the draw versus you guys. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win in this one if Alex Neubel is back. I like the way that he starts our offense. I think Fabian Bredelow is a really good backup goalkeeper, but you could really tell that we were struggling to get things started from the back with him. He's much more comfortable at long ball. So if Alex is back, I really like our chances to get a win here. Maybe a 2-0, get the first shutout clean sheet in a while here. Let me get your final thoughts. And then I do want to get your thoughts on Cologne. The last 11 matches for Stuttgart, maybe this is a repeat, so you don't have to say it too long there, but you think they'll hold on to one of those 3 or 4 place spots, huh?
Well, before we go, isn't Wolfsburg Stuttgart a little bit of a beep beep cup? There's like 2 car makers.
Oh, well, 3 now because we have Porsche on board with Mercedes. So
yeah, a little bit of a beep beep cup, isn't it?
And then Wolfsburg, one of the reasons the deal almost got shut down is because Wolfsburg owns, or Volkswagen owns, part of Porsche or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. This is going to be a draw. Nobody wants to lose.
Yeah, this is for the automakers. They can't afford anyone to lose this one. So, 0-0 draw incoming.
Yep, 100%. But so you think third, fourth place? I mean, you already said it before. You're sticking to those guns.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to third. Like, right, it'll be tough. Don't get me wrong, but I think if they I would have been more in question if they hadn't been so strong and consistent throughout the season. Like, yeah, it's hard to be third all season. You guys have hardly ever moved from there. So I don't expect that to really happen now at this point.
Yeah, that'd be just a fantastic ride that none of us were expecting. Another team that is having a fantastic ride is Leverkusen. They took us out in the Pokal after we got the draw at home against those guys. We're going to have to face them again. The reason I bring them up is 2 questions for you. One is, do you think they're going to hold on for the rest of the season and get that first elusive Meisterschale, or do you think they're going to falter? And then the second question is, you guys play them this week. And what are you thinking?
I'll take the first part first. I don't think they're going to slip up. I think if there was any, it would take, even if they did, right, Bayern, who have looked just so bad recently, would have to basically be perfect for the rest of the season. Now they do, from what I saw earlier, they do have a little bit of an easier schedule. They still have to play the bottom 3 teams, I think. And they still have some other like lower table teams for the rest of their schedule. But it's less them being perfect and more Leverkusen screwing up. And like, they just continue to look very strong. Like, yeah, they barely survived the Mainz game, really. But the game, I think in those kind of situations, it's those games where you're like, there's no way we should have won this, mm-hmm. are the ones that you win. So they would have to really, really be purposely trying to not win the title for them to lose it. I think more so is like, how many other trophies can they add to it? Like, can they win the Pokal? Can they win Europa League? Like, I think if they get one trophy out of the season, I think that would actually be a failure. By their new expectations, right? Like, if you asked any Leverkusen fan, hey, do you want a trophy out of the season? They'll be like, 100%. But, like, they're playing historically well. And to only get one trophy when you're playing the way you're playing now, like, I would say that's not really, wouldn't be like a good mark on the season, but it's hard. Like we said, it's hard for people to keep up. But my long-winded answer is that I'd be shocked if they only got one trophy out of the season.
Let me get this straight. You're saying that Bayer Leverkusen is going to get through the fortress that is Saarbrücken?
You never know. I mean, Saarbrücken still has to get through Gladbach, but
oh, that's true. Never mind.
I mean, you never know also there either. But
I do think it's wild. Yeah. The only title that Leverkusen wins or has won was the Pokal when they played the Hertha Berlin second team.
Second team, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping it's the same vibe here. They end up playing Saarbrücken's regional team or something for some reason. But yeah, they're on a great run. You guys are hosting them. So I'm going to give you a second to pontificate a little bit about how Cologne's doing. Not so much what they're doing. We all know. But going forward. So you guys host Bayer Leverkusen. Then you got the Derby versus Gladbach. You got Leipzig. Then we got the international break. But here's what's wild. Your last five matches are really setting up interesting. You got Darmstadt. Then you're at Mainz. You Freiburg at home. Then you got Union at home. And then your final match, and this one is a scary one to me, is you're at Heidenheim. I just think playing at that place is tough.
Yeah, Heidenheim is the toughest match of anyone's schedule this season.
I know, we lost.
Those dudes do not give up. I think they're the hardest team to play. I think too many teams this season tried to look over them, and then they just came out and did not give up. But you see why Frank Schmidt had been the coach there so long.
Yeah,
but
we made the mistake of having our watch party for that match because we thought for our OFC that would be a walkover. Poor Daniel had to drive back to Detroit all sad after a 0-2 loss there. But yeah, so that's what your schedule's looking like. So let's talk about that Leverkusen match. Bad news, you guys are the underdog by a goal and a half at home against these guys. What do you think? You're just hoping to get out of this one healthy, probably.
The streak's got to end sometime. Yeah. 33 is nice. But it would be a shame for it to simply be 33, huh? No, I mean, derby games are different, you know? I think that's the one thing, is there's been plenty of teams that have had great runs, and then they run into their derby opponent who just doesn't care what you guys are doing and come out, and especially in the home crowd, like the home crowd is for Cologne has been really trying to push the team forward. I'm not saying it's like super probable or anything, but all I'm just saying is derby matches are different. So are they going to get blown up? I don't think it would be a shock if they did, but I don't think it's going to, I just think that it's a little, to write it off completely, I think is not how it works. Especially because like they have now this mentality of the streak, like, okay, we did it, whatever. As much as they say that they're not paying attention to that, like, they just are, right? You just naturally do that. And you're facing an opponent that, I mean, in all fairness to them, they are looking over. They deserve to. But that just creates chaos. So
I'm gonna leave it with this, because last two seasons for us have ended either on the last match day or in the relegation playoffs. If the season ended today, that's where you guys would be, right? You guys would be in the relegation playoffs, and the juicy just drama of you guys playing Hamburg, your old coach and Baumgart, that boy, oh boy. So I want to leave with it's right now, 16th place, you guys will play in Hamburg. Do you like your guys' chances to stay in 16? Or do you think with this new coach and the new defensive priorities, you might bump up to 15? Because you're 6 points adrift as it stands right now.
It's going to take a lot. But what I will say is, like, one thing that you referenced earlier, right, is that we still have to play Darmstadt. We still have to play Mainz. We still have to play Augsburg. We still have to play a lot of these teams that we are buzzing around. So all they need to do is, one, I think the two derby matches we have coming up at great points in the season, where I think the team is kind of looking for a little bit of confidence and looking for a little bit of, like, yeah, we can do this. So either a result at Leverkusen and definitely a win against Gladbach would be a huge mental boost for the team. But they just need to tread water, try to win the games that aren't the Darmstadt-Mainz games. But when those games come around, the Darmstadt-Mainz games, a draw is not good enough. You have to win that. And I don't know how this team's going to be able to do in a have-to-win match, because they haven't really had that yet. But those are going to be, like, there's no excuse. Like, you have to get 3 points out of that.
It was wild, like I said earlier, is that our two clubs are somewhat intertwined. Is when one is doing well, the other one, unfortunately, is not doing too well. There seems to be a bit of a brotherhood, sisterhood between these two clubs, where they're both pretty friendly with each other, and they both are kind of rooting for each other, but they can't really root for each other at the same time. We're definitely pulling for you guys to pull it out when all is said and done. As we are members of the Adult Grown Men with Stuffed Animals.
And also, hey, if we make relegation playoff and we beat Hamburg, then we'll just be in third next year.
I know.
I guess that's how it's going to work, right?
That is the kind of positive talk that we love on this program. Oh, boy. Hey, Jake, so much thanks for you popping on here. I really mean it when I say you're the voice of Bundesliga in America. What I mean by that is that we are a small family community, but I really think that your Twitch channel and your Twitter handle, just you touch on everything and you kind of pull all of us in together a little bit. So you're kind of the top of the pyramid, the patriarch, matriarch, if you will. Really appreciate all your work, all your efforts. Where can people find you if they're looking to get a little bit of taste of what I'm talking about?
Also, I'm not the you touched on a point that's very important to me, is like this league's marketing department's not going to do it. Like, we kind of have to. So The closer we are together and the more that we push each other up, it's just better for the league, which we all just want. We want the league to flourish, and we want people to be fans of this absolutely chaotic mess that we cheer for every weekend. But I'm on Twitch with 50 plus donor, donor without the umlaut. And then same thing on Twitter, same thing on Threads, same things on all of them, really.
All right. Jake, hey, thanks so much for joining us this week. Wish you the best of luck. Wish us luck. And hopefully the next time we talk to you, it's about how great we both think Alexander Werl's done. Yo, for both our clubs.
It would be a little hard for me to go retroactive on that, but I'll at least listen to you talk about it.
Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you next time.
All right.
Most of the Stuttgart fans are going to be tucking into the Mauertaschen with glee tonight. If you're wondering what a Mauertaschen is, it's a culinary speciality of this region. Southwestern German dumpling. If you're not a fan of Mauertaschen, then always look for Spätzle, which is the southwestern German variety of pasta. I must confess to being a bit more of a Spätzle man myself. But do give the Mauertaschen a try if you come here.